Welcome to Let's Grow. This is a personal development podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy A. Taylor, but you can call me JT. Whether it's a short message from yours truly or an interview with a special guest, this is your place for weekly encouragement to keep going and growing. My goal here is simple, to leave you better than I found you. And I know your time is valuable, so let's dive right in. Let's Grow podcast family. Welcome back. This is JT. Excited for another episode. As always, this is your place for a shot of encouragement, real conversations, real people to sign to help you grow, help you get better. Nothing more, nothing less. Just want to bless you along your way. And I hope you always find this content, as a means of being able to equip, empower, encourage you, not only at work, but also at life. This is a personal development podcast, but really the name of the game with everything that I do is a blend of personal and professional development. And I try to take a holistic approach to that, that long range, the way you do one thing is typically the way you do everything. And that one area of your life affects every other area of your life. And so if we continue to be intentional, if we are intentional about developing ourselves and growing ourselves, we can continue to add value in the spaces that we're in, where you live, work, play, and worship. And so I'm excited about this conversation. But before we dive in, I got to make this plug, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're listening for the first time or if this is your 30-plus episode. I appreciate you being here. Your time means something to me. You can give your time to anything else, anywhere else, to anyone else, right? But you chose to be here. And so I hope there's an exchange of value today. And as always, please, if you haven't done so, give the podcast, wherever you listen to your pods, a rating, and leave a review. That helps me to get more of this information, more content out to more people. And I love doing this. I love having these conversations. Excited in the days and weeks to come to hop on some upcoming Zoom calls and record some content with some people that I think that you're going to learn a lot from. You're going to be blessed by their stories. You're going to learn a lot from their ups, their downs, and in ways that they've developed themselves in their respective professions. So excited to get some more interviews on the podcast. But I was driving on my way back in from a recent speaking engagement, and I got to thinking about school starting back and my public education and coaching career, which seems like a lifetime ago. But when I stepped out of public education back in 2012, I was teaching and coaching at the high school level. I was teaching high school social studies, and I was teaching at the freshman level at that time. But previous to that, I really had taught at every level at the high school level. And I was a head girls basketball coach before I stepped out of that career as well. And I started thinking about, my mindset as I moved from the town that I lived in, that I grew up in, to the town that I would be living in, taking that new position, that teaching and coaching job. I lived in that town for several years, even after I stepped out of public education. But I remember, all the feelings of unknown, and how anxious I was, but also how excited I was about a new season of life, about a new role, about becoming a head coach. And the reason that getting back into the school starting back, that's kind of what triggered this thought. But then I also got to thinking about one of my coaches who served as an assistant coach, but he was also an assistant alongside of him after I started my teaching and coaching career. His name was Fred Purvis. Fred is no longer with us. He passed away not long ago. And but he was an absolute jewel. Man, he was full of wisdom. He was full of life. He'd drop a one-liner on you in a heartbeat and have you in stitches, man. He was a funny guy. Interesting cat, to say the least. But, man, he was a phenomenal athlete back in his day, an incredible basketball, baseball player, played a lot of softball when he got older. But just a guy who folks enjoy being around because his knowledge of the game and sports and coaching, it was second to none. just a solid guy to be around. And so not only was he an assistant coach while I was playing high school basketball, but he was still an assistant when I stepped into my teaching career, and I was teaching and coaching at the high school that I graduated from. So we were now colleagues, right, on the same staff. And we shared a lot of laughs, enjoyed a lot of times together, you know, with this different relationship that turned from player coach to now colleague, right, and peer, so to speak. But I'll never forget some advice that he dropped on me, and that's really what the nuts and bolts of what I want to talk about today. I'm really shooting from the hip today. I didn't set aside a bunch of notes for this conversation, but I think I can break it down into a practical way of some things that he shared. And, you know, he grew up in a different time than I grew up. And I think we could all agree when we look out into the world, it's very common for folks to see. It's very common or it's very easy for us to see that coaching trends and expectations of coaches and players and athletes and parents, those things have drastically changed over time, right? You know, I can remember some of my coaches whenever I was younger being pretty tough on me, being pretty hard on me. And I think in today's society where you've got, you know, people filming all parts of what's taking place or anything that looks controversial, right? They've got a phone out, they're recording it. And so you got to watch what you say, you got to watch what you do. And you got to understand that, you know, you're teaching and coaching and working with other people's kids. And at the end of the day, you know, there's a line that has to be drawn on what I'm going to say and how I'm going to treat people. And we have to do things a certain way in order for people, obviously, to respect us and want to get behind us. And so I say all that to say, you know, Fred Purvis is one of those guys who grew up at a time where, you know, things seem to be, quote unquote, a little rougher and tougher, if you will, right? And so his philosophy and his idea of the game was a little different, you know, than someone, not necessarily someone my age per se, but maybe someone a little bit younger than me. Maybe they didn't approach things with the same grit, if you will, or have the same tenacity, or had the capacity to be coached the same as someone like he did, right? So I can remember when I stepped out of coaching, or excuse me, when I stepped out of my position in my hometown, and I was moving to Bowling Green to take the position that I was going to take. And he offered a little bit of advice, and he was unbelievably proud of me. He was excited for me, but he offered me a little bit of advice. And that's what I want to share with you today. So I guess we can call this some old school advice, if you will. But now that I look back on it and I think about what he was saying to me, I can also see things from a different perspective. But here's what he said, because he was one of those guys that liked to keep it simple. He didn't break down things into great detail. You know, he was kind of, what you see is what you get. This is what we're going to do. If it doesn't work, we'll scrap it. We'll do something else. But I remember him saying, "Jay, man, I'm excited for you. I know you're going to do great. I know you're going to do well. But I want to encourage you to keep these two things in mind as you go become a head coach. One," here's what he said, "keep in mind that rarely will you coach someone who wants to win as bad as you do." Keep that in mind. And the reason why he was saying that to me is because he wanted to remind me to not allow myself to get lost in the sauce of the frustration of maybe other kids and parents and administrators, other folks not being as bought in or wanting it as bad as me. There's a reason why you're the head coach. There's a reason why you're a leader. There's a reason why you're a visionary. There's a reason why you're a self-starter. All right. It's okay to want it as bad as you do, but don't allow that to affect the relationships that you see. It's very easy to misconstrue what he said. Rarely are you going to coach someone who wants to win as bad as you do. It's very easy to misconstrue that and think that he's saying that other people aren't as good as you are or don't have the same drive or desire that you do. No, what he was saying was, remember that when you get frustrated about things, there's a reason why you're the head coach, and this is the way it should be. No one else should want it really as bad as you do because you are leading the ship, right? You're the captain. And then the second thing that he said, now I'm going to backtrack on that and I'm going to break down a couple of ideas that I hopefully will help someone here today, wherever you find yourself at, leading in the spaces that you're in. And then the number two thing he said, and we had a little joke about this because it was a little bit of a play on the history of horse racing here in the great state of Kentucky. But it's so true. He said, listen, also, Jeremy, if you don't have the horses, it's pretty hard to win the race. And obviously what he was saying there is, listen, man, in order to win at a high level, it's going to take some talent, right? You're going to have some folks with some size, with some speed. You're going to have to coach some people that have some things that you can't coach, that you can't teach, right? They already have some things in their wheelhouse, and now you're just helping to refine it, right? And when I think back on that, I think about how I think about how that's so true as well, that in certain situations, you may not be in control of who your team is, per se, right? So let's say you're a manager, and you are, maybe you're not in control of the hiring process, but you are the leader of a department, right, in your organization. And so you didn't get to hand select your team, but you are in charge of leading, developing, right, facilitating things. And so that can be challenging. That can be frustrating when you have people on the team that maybe don't have some of the talent that you would like for them to have or the experience that you would like for them to have, right? And so we could break that application down in a number of different ways. But I'll never forget, because when I was in the thick of things, I inherited a program when I stepped into that school where they had graduated the number one player in the state of Kentucky the previous year. And a lot of things that were taking place on the court and in the program had been built around her over the last several years. And so now there were girls who were phenomenal athletes, great, unbelievable students, and multi-sport athletes, and unbelievably hard workers, but some of them weren't great basketball players. And I think if I had a conversation with some of them today, we could all, you know, as adults, we could agree on that, that some of them were hard workers, but, you know, from a high school athletics perspective, it was, you know, they had an opportunity to play, they had an opportunity to compete, but some of them didn't go on to play at the next level because, one, you know, that wasn't their passion or their dream, and that really wasn't their, you know, the sport that they were the best in. So all that being said, I can remember when I was in the thick of things, heeding that advice that Coach Purvis gave me. And as I think about that today, I want to encourage a leader that's listening today that wherever you find yourself, keep in mind that if you are a self-starter and you're someone who's leading the organization, it's okay to feel the feelings that you feel. There may be times when you feel misunderstood. There may be times whenever you feel lonely, right? Maybe you're putting more hours in than someone else has put in. Maybe you care more about that project than someone else does because your name is on the business, right? It's okay to feel that way, and that's just natural. Don't let that blindside you from keeping the main thing, and continuing to show up, love, serve, and care for the people inside your organization and provide the best example that you can. And just because maybe someone doesn't have the same attitudes that you have, or maybe someone doesn't have the same work ethic you have, it doesn't mean necessarily that they care less per se, or that they don't care about winning, or they don't care about doing a great job. Maybe it's that they just have a different reason why, or they have a different intrinsic motivation that drives them. And maybe that's something that you need to get to know them a little bit better so you can tap into, so that you can connect with them on that level, remind them of their why, hold them accountable, right? And then the second point as I work to close down today is, you know, the whole concept or that comment that Fred Purvis made about if you don't have the horses, it's hard to win the race. And, you know, from a coaching perspective, I started to see a major trend. Now, it's always happened because there's always going to be people who do things under the radar, who do things that are unethical. There's always going to be coaches who are contacting players and parents who are trying to move players around, all right, all these different things that technically aren't legal at the high school level. Now, you know, nowadays you have charter schools and private schools and open enrollment, right? Things look much different than whenever I was in high school. And you got all this travel ball and the AAU circuit, how many connections that has at the next level, and people and their relationships funneling folks from those travel ball teams into schools that are sponsored by Adidas or Nike, right? You could unpack that all day long. But I say all that to say that I was starting to notice a growing trend, especially in larger communities where you had multiple schools, just how much jockeying there was for athletes, right? People trying to finesse people on one end of town to bring their kid to their feeder school so they could get them in their program so they could eventually end up playing for that high school, yada, yada, yada. And man, I got to be honest with you. I wanted nothing to do with that. I really didn't. I just wanted to coach basketball. I wanted to develop athletes. I wanted to encourage young people. I wanted to have a good time working in the field that I loved, coaching a game that I loved. I really didn't want anything to do with, you know, trying to recruit anybody. And so, therefore, that was another thing that really discouraged me about that whole conversation with Coach Purvis about, you know, if you don't have the horses, it's hard to win the race, you know, because there's going to be some people that are doing whatever they can to get the best athletes at their school. And truth be told, you can coach, you know, and granted, trust me when I tell you, I believe in the old adage that hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. So I believe in coaching teams well, putting people in place, maximizing their potential, developing their skills, right? All those things. But there's going to be some times, man, when you step onto a court or you step onto a playing field or whatever the field of competition is, right? And if you have superior athletes, it's kind of hard to get a dub, right? Let's just call it like it is. But I want to encourage you with a few basic things that I think helped me to create some buy-in at that time. Because although we didn't win very many games, matter of fact, we got our teeth kicked in a number of times. It was one of the hardest years of my life and transitions of my life, especially at my age, because I wasn't as self-aware as what I probably could have been and should have been. I had a lot of growing pains. I was still trying to work out some of my own immaturity. You know, I wanted to do things a certain way, and so maybe I wasn't a great listener, and maybe I didn't ask for the help that maybe I could have asked for. But I was trying to forge my own path, and I was trying to do the best I could with what I had. But I made plenty of mistakes along the way. But even and the entire region that I was coaching in, goodness gracious, man, they were so good. There was multiple teams in that region, in that area of the state, who had players who would go on to play at the next level, and even some Division I athletes. So we were getting our butts kicked. Just going to be transparent. We were getting our butts kicked on a consistent basis. But we did get a few dubs that first year. But I'll tell you this. I felt like the team that I had, that group of young ladies, was unbelievably loyal and worked their tails off. And I think there's a few things that we did that may have contributed to that. Again, I certainly don't feel like I did more right than I did wrong because hindsight's 2020. I would do so many things different if I could go back and do that over again. But I feel like here are a few things that we did well that contributed to the buy-in, even if we didn't have the best basketball players in town or in the region to where they played. They did the best they could with what they had, and they gave me their best on a consistent basis, right? The first thing is this. I felt like me and the coaching staff we did the best we could to create a compelling vision for those young athletes to where they felt like there was something that they wanted to be part of because things were changing, things were fresh, things were new, and many of them were seniors, and so this was their last, their last go-around, and they wanted to make the most of it, right? Which created a challenge for me because I had a large number of seniors who parents felt like, you know, we've put in our time. Now it's our opportunity to play. But also I had to develop younger ladies because I'm thinking about the program moving forward. And that was a tough balancing act. And trust me, there were a lot of heads that got bumped in the process of having to deal with that. But we tried to cast a vision that was compelling. Number two is I tried to do the best job that I could of defining roles and letting people know what their job was if they wanted to make the maximum contribution to the team. So therefore, they didn't have to question, what am I here to do? How can I help the team? What do I need to work on? Right? I tried to meet with the players one-on-one to discuss what their position would be, how we were going to utilize them, right? Get some feedback from them, and then work on some of those things in practice, right? You know, individual skill development. But at the end of the day, we tried to cast a vision. We tried to establish roles so that everyone knew what their job was and there was no second guessing that. And then number three was we tried to just keep the lines of communication open, right? Because I've learned, and I talk about this a lot in a lot of workshops and keynotes and one-on-one coaching, that when there's a lapse in communication, negativity typically fills that void. And so we didn't want that to happen. So we wanted there to be an open door policy as far as you coming to ask questions or you asking for help. And then from a parent perspective, we, you know, created some boundaries around parents if they had questions, comments, concerns, that one, they had to wait until 24 hours after a ball game if they wanted to meet and discuss their child's playing time, because more times than not, parents only want to talk about playing time, right? But outside of that, you know, we were also only going to talk about their child, no one else's child. So, but at the end of the day, we just tried to keep the lines of communication open with the administration, with the players, with the parents, because we were trying to build a program, not just coach a team. And so communicating consistently, speaking the same language, talking about the same things over and over again, so that it created some consistency, which I'll plug here on the back end. Number four was I felt like once you cast a vision, once you establish roles and you begin communicating what it is that you feel like you need to communicate, just doing the best you can to encourage people along the way. Now, granted, I'm a pretty tough nut when it comes to coaching, and I had some coaches get in my face, and you know I had to learn how to respond to that. And I'm pretty intense as well, but I had to learn over time that you know yelling in someone's face more times than not isn't going to get the best result, right? It's not going to get you the most bang for your buck when it comes to developing people and helping people feel valued, appreciated. And so while I was pretty intense and pretty vocal and pretty loud, I tried to never individually berate people or make people or belittle anyone or single anybody out or make people feel as if I'm just on their case, right? So I tried to be more encouraging than critical, because I wanted everyone to know that, man, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader no matter what happens, right? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to turn the ball over. You're going to miss shots. Things aren't going to go well. But if you give me your best attitude and effort, listen, I can appreciate that. I can respect that. And all you can do is all you can do. And all I'll ever ask you to do is simply all you can do. And then lastly is that provide some consistency in those avenues and keep showing up and displaying and modeling and talking the same things with that vision, with those roles, with the open communication, with the encouragement, showing up day in and day out and bringing your best so that you, your actions and your influence could demand the best from other people because they see you giving your best as well, right? The best advice is always a great example. I firmly believe that. So with that being said, I'm a little over time than what I originally planned for this episode to go. But when I got to thinking about that advice from Coach Purvis, I felt like that was practical and something that I could share with leaders today, that remember, it's okay that maybe you feel like no one wants to win as bad as you do, but that may not necessarily be their heart or exactly what they think. It's a facade, maybe in your own mind, just because of being in the position that you're in, right? And then number two is, it's hard to win if you don't have the horses. Now, you can go out and recruit talent, and from a hiring perspective, from a leadership, I encourage you to hire character and then to develop skill, right? Whatever methods you have that are proven to bring in the best people on board, continue to do those things. But at the end of the day, whatever you have, if it's a little talent or if it's high talent, you can still work to create buy-in by creating the culture that you want to create. And that culture really starts with how you show up on a consistent basis, so that you can demand the same from everybody else. With that being said, I'm going to close this thing down. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me today. Continued success and God bless in the days ahead. Remember, don't just go through life, grow through life, and everybody can encourage somebody. I'll catch you on the next episode. And please don't forget, give this thing a 5-star. Share it with a friend, a family member, a coworker. Rate the podcast. Trying to get this out, and I'll do a little bit better job of being consistent, so you guys can get some more episodes in your wheelhouse. But thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for believing in me. And I'll leave you with what I tell my son Miles every night before bed. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm proud of you, and I believe in you. And I guarantee not only do you need to hear that, but someone else needs to hear that. So go share it with someone today. I'll catch you on the next episode.
Hey, thanks again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and you received some value, could you do me a favor and share it with a friend? If so, I really, really, really appreciate you helping me get the word out about this podcast. As a reminder, this is your place for a shot of encouragement, and my goal is to simply leave you better than I found you. So, my friend, I certainly hope that was the case for you today.